ever put off buying groceries because you just knew those bananas were going to be cheaper tomorrow. Only to find, like, the whole store sold out when you go back.
Oh, tell me about it.
Like, deep down, we know trying to time anything is asking for trouble.
Right.
And yet, the second we open those trading apps, all logic just vanishes. Poof.
Yeah.
Because the market, it's not just numbers, is it? It's this massive confidence game, and we're playing against ourselves.
We really are.
So today, we're diving into the psychology behind some of those, shall we say, interesting market moves we all make. You know the ones.
Oh, I do.
Think of this deep dive as your crash course in outsmarting that inner gambler.
What I find fascinating is how we see the market as this external force, you know, this thing dictating winners and losers.
Yeah.
But in reality, the biggest battle is happening right between our own ears.
Love that visual market as our mental boxing ring.
Exactly.
And from what the research says, most investors, they get knocked out by one of two punches: over-optimism or panic selling.
It's true.
So let's unpack that first haymaker, over-optimism. It's that feeling when a stock is soaring, everybody's talking about it. Suddenly, you need in, even if you couldn't tell me what the company actually does.
Been there.
NVIDIA this year, perfect example. Who hasn't been tempted to chase that rocket, right? But the problem is, when we buy at the peak of the hype, we're basically betting on the impossible that the price will climb forever.
It's classic FOMO, fear of missing out. Mm-hmm. And social media, oh, it just throws fuel on that fire.
Totally. Makes it a 5-alarm fire of FOMO.
Exactly. You see everyone else making money, your brain screaming, get in there, don't miss out. And boom, herd mentality takes over. Logic thrown right out the window.
So instead of analyzing, we get caught in the frenzy, like everyone rushing to buy the latest gadget, even if it's just slightly shinier than the one they've already got.
And just like that, shiny gadget often loses its appeal. Those high-flying stocks. Mm. Well, they come crashing down to earth, leaving a lot of folks with a bad case of buyer's remorse.
Which brings us to that second knockout punch we talked about, panic selling. Because when that market euphoria fades and prices dip, fear takes over.
Oh, yeah. It's primal.
Think back to NVIDIA again, right? When that correction hit, the same people who were on cloud nine were suddenly scrambling to unload their shares, often at a huge loss.
Like a house of cards collapsing.
It's that feeling when you're playing a game, music changes, and suddenly you're not invincible anymore. You just want to hide.
It all comes down to loss aversion. We're hardwired to feel the pain of a loss way more strongly than the joy of an equal gain.
Really?
Studies show it's like twice as strong. So when that stock starts to dip, man, it hurts twice as much as the thrill of seeing it go up.
Makes sense. We'd rather get out now, even at a loss, than risk losing even more, even if, logically, holding on is the smarter move.
We become so fixated on avoiding that pain, we make irrational decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the kicker, both over-optimism and panic selling. They lead us to the same expensive mistake.
Which is?
Buying high, selling low. The exact opposite of what successful investors do.
Ouch. But you know what? Just recognizing this, putting it into words like this, it's already making me feel a little more in control. But I'm guessing knowing the enemy is only half the battle, right?
You got it. But that's where things get empowering. Because once you understand the game, you can change the way you play.
So we know the traps, but knowing is only half the battle, isn't it? There's that saying, knowing is half the battle. But what about that other half? The doing.
Exactly. That's where we go from understanding the problem to, you know, building solutions. Think of it this way. We're equipping you with a mental toolkit. Each tool is going to help you make sharper decisions, navigate the market with more, you know, confidence, clarity.
I love that, a mental toolkit. What's the first tool we're adding?
Emotional discipline.
Yeah.
That's the foundation.
Easier said than done, though, right? Especially with those numbers flashing red and green. Feels like your money's hanging by a thread. How do we even start taming those emotional roller coasters?
You're right. It's not about being like an emotionless robot, though. It's about having a system, rules that ground you when your gut's telling you to make a move. Especially a not-so-smart one.
Having a game plan before you even step on the field.
Exactly. We call it your trading system. Like having a financial GPS, guiding your decisions even when the market's throwing detours your way.
Trading system. Break that down. What are we talking about here?
Basically, your personal set of rules for navigating the market. It outlines, like, your buying and selling criteria. How much risk you'll take on a trade, when to cut losses, and move on.
So instead of impulsively buying because of hype, my trading system would say, hold on, does this even fit my goals, my risk tolerance?
Exactly. Takes emotion out of it. Your system might say, if a stock drops 10% below my buy price, I sell no questions asked. Protects you from holding on too long, you know, maybe taking even bigger losses.
So no more, oh, it'll bounce back, I just know it. Even when everything's saying the opposite. Okay, emotional discipline, our trading system. What's next in our market psychology toolkit?
Zoom out. Shift focus from the daily chaos of those price swings to the big picture, the long-term trajectory.
Don't miss the forest for the trees, right?
There you go. Short-term market fluctuations. They're like ripples in a vast ocean. Dramatic up close, but they don't really impact the ocean's depth or direction all that much.
So instead of getting swept away by every wave of market sentiment, focus on the underlying currents driving our investments.
Yes, that's where fundamental analysis comes in. Evaluating a company's financial health, management team, its competitive landscape, all those things that contribute to long-term potential.
Now, we won't dive deep into fundamental analysis today. That's a whole other deep dive. Yeah. But for our listeners who want to learn more, that's one to jot down.
Definitely. The takeaway. A long-term vision grounded in good research, solid analysis, helps you ride out those short-term market storms. No rash decisions based on fear or, you know, greed.
Love it. Emotional discipline, thinking long-term. What else makes a savvy investor?
Technical savvy. Now, charts and indicators, they can seem intimidating.
Totally. Like stepping into a foreign language class. Lines and patterns everywhere.
Like I said, intimidating. But bear with me. Technical analysis at its core is like reading footprints in the sand.
Okay, now I'm intrigued. Go on.
Those footprints, they tell a story, right? Where someone's been, where they could be going. Price charts, trading volume, they reveal patterns in how the market behaves. Clues about where the price might go next.
Instead of just financials, we're looking at how a stock is actually behaving out in the market.
Exactly. Technical analysis helps us see those moments of extreme sentiment we talked about.
Yeah.
The overbought, oversold conditions, like noticing everyone rushing for the exit or piling into a crowded theater.
We're spotting the turning points before they make headlines.
You got it. Recognizing when the market's getting ahead of itself, too excited, too pessimistic, and adjusting accordingly.
This is making a lot of sense. But let's get practical. Our source talks about stop-loss orders. How can something so simple be such a game-changer for our, well, emotional well-being as investors?
Stop-loss orders, they're like that emergency brake. Never think you'll need it until you really do. They automatically sell an asset when it hits a price you set, limiting your potential losses.
Your safety net if the price takes a tumble.
Precisely. Say you buy a stock at $50 a share. Stop-loss at $45. Price drops to $45 or below. Order triggers automatically. Shares are sold, you limit your loss to $5 per share.
Huge. Takes away that, what if it keeps dropping, fear. The fear that makes us panic, sell, and lose even more.
Exactly. You get a sense of control, peace of mind, knowing you've got a plan, even if things go sideways. And here's the beauty. Stop-loss orders let you stay in the game. Ride out those fluctuations without freaking out over every little dip.
Music to my ears. Speaking of not stressing, our source's last point was about finding balance, not overdoing it with our trading activity. Tell us more.
The art of restraint. See, overtrading, making too many trades too often. Classic newbie trap. We get caught up in the excitement, feeling like we have to constantly buy and sell to win.
But that's like trying to time those grocery store sales, right? You might snag a deal here and there, but more likely, you end up with expired yogurt and a headache.
Perfect analogy. Overeating leads to indigestion. Overtrading leads to decision fatigue, bad judgment, and yeah, usually more losses.
So how do we find that balance, that sweet spot between being engaged but not driving ourselves nuts?
Remember, investing is a marathon, not a sprint. It's about thoughtful, strategic decisions, not chasing every little opportunity or reacting to every market hiccup.
Quality over quantity, for the investments and the trades we make.
You got it. Tune out the noise, stick to your system, trust that long-term strategy. And remember, sometimes the best trades are the ones we don't make.
Okay, so we've got our toolkit, we're feeling empowered, but how does all this actually play out in the real world?
Let's do a little simulation. Our source uses the example of the stock, SMCI. Imagine it's on the rise, creating buzz, and that fear of missing out starts to creep in.
Oh, I know that feeling. Like everyone at a party is talking about something amazing you've never even heard of, and suddenly you're desperate to join in.
Exactly. But instead of just, you know, slamming that buy button, what does our savvy investor do first?
Consult the trusty trading system, right? Does SMCI fit the criteria? What are our entry and exit signals looking like?
No emotional decisions here. We're playing chess, not roulette.
Love that. So, no chasing hype. We're thinking strategically. What's next?
We zoom out. Short-term hype is fun, But what's SMCI's long-term trajectory? Are they the real deal or just riding a wave of, you know, whatever's trendy?
Gotta separate the flash-in-the-pan companies from those with real staying power.
You said it. Now, let's say our system gives us a cautious thumbs up. SMCI's fundamentals look good. Time to bring in the technical savvy. What are those charts whispering to us?
Right. Are we seeing signs of a company about to blast off or maybe a rocket running out of fuel? Those indicators.
Yeah.
What are they saying? Red light, green light?
Exactly. So after all that careful consideration, you decide to take a position. What's that crucial next step, even before you've made a dollar?
Gotta set that stop loss right. Figure out our risk tolerance, how much we're okay with potentially losing, and put in that order. No hesitation. It's our safety net if things go south.
Exactly. Protects us from ourselves sometimes. Now, even if SMCI starts climbing like we hope, golden rule.
Don't overdo it.
There you go. It's tempting, right? To get caught up in it, making changes, chasing every tiny gain.
Like finding a $20 bill on the sidewalk. Suddenly you're looking for more, even if it means going way off track.
And usually ending up somewhere you don't want to be. Remember, it's not about how many trades, it's about making the right ones at the right time for the right reasons.
So we trust our system, trust our analysis, and resist that urge to micromanage every little thing. We're in it for the long haul.
Music to my ears. And remember, even if SMCI throws a curveball, market takes a turn, it's not failure, it's feedback. Learn, adjust, and move forward. Always learning.
This has been eye-opening. We've gone from feeling like at the mercy of the market to having a framework for rational decisions, even when our emotions are going haywire.
That's the power of this stuff. Not about eliminating emotions, but recognizing them, developing strategies so they don't sabotage our goals.
So coming back to that idea, the tape doesn't lie. Sounds like what it's really telling us is a story about us, our biases, our blind spots.
Now you're getting it. The market's a mirror. Reflecting our hopes, fears, all of it. By studying that reflection, understanding what's happening in our own minds, that's how we make smarter decisions in investing and, you know, in life.
And on that note, we wrap up this deep dive into market psychology. Remember, knowledge is power. Trust your gut, the informed gut, and never stop learning.